Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Listen to KMOX anytime, anywhere. Download the radio.com app today.
I have a confession. I'm addicted to the news.
You know I'm totally off script right now.
Journalism is cool again, and you have endless content, let's be honest.
And this is how I got elected, by being off script.
Now, Mark Reardon.
Well, I think he's got a lot of hand movement. I've never seen so much hand movement. I said, is he crazy, or is that just the way he acts?
On St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to a Wednesday edition of the program, the first show this week. We had the holiday on Monday, and yesterday was baseball, so I'm ready to get going here because we have a lot to cover, and I keep changing my mind. My producer, Dave Klein, will tell you this because since I'm still working from the studio at home, I give him a few possibilities for where we're going to start the show with audio and things like that, and I think I'm even going to call an audible here, Dave, this afternoon, but we'll get to that here in a minute. A lot to get to, as I mentioned. You know, Steve Butz reached out last week. He's a state representative. He represents South St. Louis, lives in my old neighborhood, Holly Hills, has for a long time. And he wanted to chime in on some crime issues. You know, they had the special session last week. He's got Steve's a Democrat, but he's a moderate Democrat, has some good perspective on that. We'll talk about this ridiculous Oscars mandate for inclusion standards for Best Picture nominees. It's not good enough anymore just to make a good piece of art. If you don't check all the boxes off with that piece of art, then it's not worthy. It's not worthy at all. So we'll get to that. And Dave Klein, I have a kind of a personal hygiene question for you and maybe Carol and Kevin Wheeler in the next hour. Are you ready for that, for the personal hygiene question?
Oh, you know, I've spilled a lot of details about my life, Mark, so at this point I'm ready for anything.
Yeah, this one's kind of minor, but something came up over the weekend, and I may be discovering once again that my theory on this was wrong, but we'll find out as we get to the latter portion of the show, the 3 o'clock hour. Hey, Dave, how'd you do on the Kentucky Derby on Saturday?
You know, it's funny you should ask that. I'm not as good as you did, apparently. I didn't even get a chance to watch the race, but I checked my app after the race was over. I thought, oh wow, I got $12 back. This is awesome. Well, it turns out
you hit something.
Well, a trifecta.
Oh,
box.
The DQ.
Yes, that's what it was. Yeah, that's
and
not, I
not
saw
the
that
DQ.
After the case.
It was the horse. Yeah, it was Baffert's horse that acted up in the paddock, and then they scratched him. If you had that horse, I think maybe it was the 15 or the 10, I can't remember. Yeah, then they would refund your money on that
portion. So I'm counting that as a win for me, Mark.
The bets. You know what? Hey, that's a good thing. Now, Dave, last Thursday afternoon, we spent some time with Joe Arnold from Louisville, WHAS Radio and Television, former reporter and anchor, and I sort of walked through my betting strategy when I bet a race like the Derby in particular. And let's refresh our memories on that just briefly from last Thursday. One of the things that I like to do, here's my advice. You take that horse that's favored, the 17 horse, Tis the Law, and you put it as a key horse in a trifecta with five other horses. That'll cost you $20. And then you take that horse and you put it in the second hole with five other horses in the first and the third, and you do that three times. It's a $60 bet. You put the 4-5 favorite in with some long shots, and that 4-5 favorite finishes maybe second or third, you can cash a pretty nice ticket. Dave, where did the favorite finish on Saturday afternoon, Churchill Downs, Saturday evening? Do you remember where the favorite finished? 4-5 favorite.
I know it wasn't first.
Second.
Second, that's
second.
Right.
Second.
Yeah.
It was not first. It was second. 8-1 on top, right? But the key was, and this is why, you know, I suggested kind of doing a trifecta key along those lines. Nobody probably understood what the hell I was talking about, but that's exactly what I did. Interestingly enough, this was my first bet. Dave, I've told you, you know, I love the horses. I used to bet quite a bit at the track. I'm a little bit stingy with my money these days. I've never done online wagering or gambling outside of in Vegas with the apps out there. I signed up for a Twin Spires account reluctantly because I don't want to tempt myself. And the first trifecta that I made, because, you know, I make a few bets on the Derby, was the one that hit on Saturday with that 46-1 shot coming in third. So, I did pretty well. And you know, I feel like I had this coming to a certain extent because you might remember the stewards at Churchill Downs robbed me of quite a bit more money than I won on Saturday with last year's Derby.
Oh, that's
so
right. I forgot about that.
Just a little, yeah. Yeah, the DQ, that cost me, literally cost me thousands of dollars. Then I got in my car, I was so upset, remember this, and I lunged forward in my car. That cost me another $1,000. Not my best day, but I did okay, had the try and the exacta, which was kind of small, on Saturday afternoon. All right, let me get to some business here after bragging on my trifecta. So this is getting a lot of play right now, and maybe I'm not surprised, but I want to play you the audio. So there's a new book, of course. Bob Woodward has a new book called Rage, and there's a couple of pieces of audio. So you can believe what's in some books or not believe, maybe like the Atlantic story from last week on Trump's comments on the military. In this particular case, we have this on audio. These were a series of interviews that Bob Woodward had done with President Trump. So let's first play the one on February 7th. This is audio from February 7th when he's talking to Bob Woodward, President Trump.
And so what was President Xi saying yesterday?
Well, we were talking mostly about the virus, and I think he's going to have it in good shape, but, you know, it's a very tricky situation. It goes through air, Bob. That's always tougher than the touch. You know, the touch, you don't have to touch things, right? But the air, you just breathe the air, and that's how it's passed. And so that's a very tricky one. That's a very delicate one. It's also more deadly than your strenuous flus. You know, people don't realize we lose 25,000, 30,000 people a year here. Who would ever think that, right?
I know. It's,
I mean,
much,
it's pretty
forgotten.
Amazing. And then I say, well, is that the same thing?
For,
this is more deadly. This is 5% versus 1% and less than 1%. You know, so this is deadly stuff.
All right, so he knew the beginning of February. Keep in mind, at the beginning of March, you still had de Blasio and Nancy Pelosi and others saying, hey, go out, live your life, everything's fine. The president recognized this beginning of February, and he likes to say that he shut down travel. He did to a certain extent. I always think that's a little misleading. He did not cut down travel between the U.S. and China for U.S. citizens, only for Chinese citizens. So then there's another interview on March 19th. Now, March 19th is a week and a half after everything shuts down. The NBA cancels. The NCAA tournament cancels. Trump does that horrible address on that Wednesday night where he looks into the camera, and that was the moment I knew, uh-oh, this is bad, right? So here's what he said on the 19th of March to Woodward.
Now it's turning out it's not just old people, Bob. Just today and yesterday, some startling facts came out. It's not just older.
Yeah, exactly.
Young people, to plenty of young people.
So, give me a moment of talking to somebody, going through this with Fauci or somebody who kind of it caused a pivot in your mind, because it's clear just from what's on the public record that you went through a pivot on this to, oh my God, the gravity is almost inexplicable and unexplainable.
Well, I think, Bob, really, to be honest with you.
Sure, I want you to.
I wanted to always play it down. I still like playing it down.
Yes.
Because I don't want to create a panic.
All right, so that's the key. So the CNN story this afternoon says Trump's admissions stark contrast to his frequent public comments at the time insisting the virus is going to disappear and that it all works out fine. The book, using Trump's own words, depicts a president who has betrayed the public trust and the most fundamental responsibilities of his office. Enraged, Trump says the job of a president is to keep our country safe. But in early February, Trump told Woodward he knew how deadly the virus was, and in March admitted that he kept knowledge hidden from the public. I don't think he admitted that he kept knowledge hidden. I think he admitted that he didn't want people to panic. And here's something that's interesting. You can interpret this in a variety of different ways. Am I somewhat concerned here? Eh, maybe, but I don't think I learned anything. And here's what I do know. I know that the same people at CNN and elsewhere that are all worked up about this, about, you know, not creating a panic, were the same people who bought into the notion that Fauci lied about masks to avoid a panic. Let's face it, he did the same thing, right? He didn't want to panic people. So this does work both ways, and we'll see if this turns into a bigger deal. I mean, Bob Woodward's books get a lot of attention from the morning talk shows and CNN. 214.
Mark Reardon now.
No, never. Yes, always.
Total Information PM at 4 on KMOX.
Well, look, in the effort of honesty and full disclosure, this is a pretty easy week for me, and next week will be too because of baseball. We don't have a show tomorrow, and you know what sucks about this, and this is just being truthful, because we get into periods where, let's say December, this used to happen a lot more often. You get the holidays, and there's not a lot to talk about, and I would give anything for a baseball interruption on some of those days. And then you have a presidential campaign, you have a pandemic, you have violence in the city of St. Louis, you have the Cardinals, all these things. Obviously, we want to talk about the Cardinals while they're playing tomorrow, but it's just frustrating because there's plenty to discuss. Now, we'll get to most of that as much as we can on the roundtable on Friday. Jane will be here. Former State Senator John Lamping and former State Senator Jeff Smith is with us on Friday. State Rep Steve Butts is with me this afternoon on the Quiver River Electric guest line. He reached out last week. We were talking about the special session and crime, and he's a South City resident, not too far from where I used to live back in the day. I think it's long enough now. It's been 7 or 8 years. I can say back in the day. Can't I, Steve? How are you this afternoon?
Mark, I'm doing great, and it was back in the day. It was great to have you in the neighborhood back then, but ever since that, the last 7 years, we've noticed every year it's improved just a little bit in the Holly Hills area.
Just a little.
Because Reardon left. Hey, before can I ask you something real quick?
Yeah,
inquiring minds
do
want to know about radio co-host superstars like you. When there is a lot of Cardinal baseball, is that top salary of yours prorated, you know, when the Cardinals are on, or do you still get the full meal deal?
I'm not sure if I can comment on that at all.
Okay.
Here's what I've always said, Steve. Here's what I've said. Even if you add up, you listen to Brennan in the morning. What does he work? 2 hours, right? 2 hours?
Two and a half, maybe. He's on at 8:30. Yeah.
So let add 2.5. All right. So I have a 3-hour show. So if you do the math, and even if you take out the baseball interruptions, I'm way ahead of where Brennan was, you know, minutes on the radio station, Butts. So let's just say that.
All right. Thanks for clearing that up.
No, I'm paid fully for playing golf. Let's just be honest about that. All right, let's talk about crime here, because you took part in the special session last week. You have unique perspectives. Look, Steve, one of the reasons that did drive me out of the city, my neighbors don't like to hear this, was crime. I would not violent crime, but I was a victim several times of crime. Did what the legislature did last week, did that make any improvements? I do like the residency rule requirement. Did we help the situation? I guess, did you help the situation in the legislature?
So the special session is not quite wrapped up yet, so it's been going on for quite a while. I would say it was political, 95%, just to give, you know, some nice talking points to Governor Parson in particular. But I will say a couple points that I really wanted to go over with you was the residency requirement, lifting the residency requirement, was part of the package, and I do think it will be helpful. Important to note, it's not just the police, it's fire and EMS. And I think in a real good stroke of compromise, it has a 3-year sunset. So if the argument that Chief Hayden and Judge Jimmy Edwards was making, that they really need this as a tool to retain officers and to recruit new officers, they kind of got 3 years to make their case. So I think that was one thing that was important.
Two things about that, one, I think, that are important. One is you do have the option now of hiring people that don't live in the city. And then the second part is you could perhaps stem some of the retirements or, you know, the attrition, if you will, if you allow the officers that are on the force right now to perhaps move into the county. That's part of the equation as well, right?
That is correct, and that was the testimony given repeatedly by those people in charge of those departments, not just the chief of police, but Dennis Jenkerson, the fire chief, representatives. There were a lot of voices speaking out on that very point, that it was a tool. It's not a panacea. It's not going to fix everything, but it will help retain officers and recruit new officers. And we're short All officers. Right. We need to fill these positions.
State Rep Steve Butts with me this afternoon. You did not, however, and I think you made some good points. We talked last week off the air. You weren't crazy about the portion of the plan that allows the Attorney General to step in and do some cleanup work in the Circuit Attorney's office.
Yeah, I'm not crazy about it at all, Mark. So that has not come up on the floor of the House yet, and I have no inside information if it will. So this is a long way from being law. But there's no secret, right? I did not support Kim Gardner. I have voted against Kim Gardner twice. However, once she was elected, Kim Gardner was elected overwhelmingly. The election process has to be validated when that many people speak in a democratic society. If we don't honor the outcomes of elections, you know, we're left with nothing. And someday, you know, the shoe could be on the other foot. That argument has been made. It's also it's just an insult. This is we want this woman right now to be our circuit attorney for the next 4 years. The U.S. attorney is already prosecuting cases, you know, other cases. It's not like there aren't other people trying to address the crime problem in the city of St. Louis. And in Kim Gardner's defense, you know, yeah, there's a spike in June and July that's atrocious, but I've been tracking crime in the city for a long, long time. We average, Mark, around 200 murders forever. When Jennifer Joyce was the circuit attorney, guess how many murders we had? Around 200. Back in the 90s, into the 2000s, the last 5 years, we're hovering always right around 200, despite everybody's best efforts. So it's not a problem that is unique to Kim Gardner. And usurping her authority is terrible, and overturning the election is ridiculous.
Well, I do think that, keep in mind, your party has certainly complained about the results of the election on a presidential level for 3.5 years now. However, you know, I do think it's a valid point to say, look, you know, she was elected. People, it's not like Kim Gardner was hiding her agenda from the voters.
Right.
She's pretty clear. She'd go on national television and tell pretty much the whole country. But despite, look, yes, crime numbers, you go back to the 80s, we had far more murders. The problem now is I think the numbers are ticking up, and you have a lot of assaults and things that are happening. You just look at downtown St. Louis right now. So there is graver concern, I think, Steve, that these things are not being attended to, which is one of the reasons that Republicans like State Senator Onder and others felt it was necessary to step in here.
Okay, I'm going to say, and, you know, do I agree with some of that? Of course. I'm not blind to the crime in the city. This uptake, it's not unique to the city of St. Louis. This is a nationwide phenomenon. And strangely enough, Mark, it's directly tracked since about May 15th to today. So this, you know, how everybody's been going crazy, the COVID effect is part of the deal here. There's no doubt in my mind it's part of the deal. You know how much stress, you know, you share about having to homeschool your daughter and, you know, Zoom kindergarten and all that thing. Well, and you're in a good position, and you say that all the time. Think of people that aren't. Think of all the built-up depression, anxiety, worry. I don't know what happened, but after May 15, things got really crazy. The only explanation you can say why did it get that crazy that fast was people were just going to cut loose and let it rip, and that's what happened. And I think
I got 30 seconds here.
Camping down a little bit.
One point of clarification on any of this that has been approved in the House is it that still has to go through the Senate to get to the president, the governor's desk, right?
It's been through the Senate. Now it's got to come back to the House, and then it'll go real quick on a little combination with the two parties, you know, the Senate and the House, and then go to the governor's desk.
Right.
So it's got a long way to go on the concurrent jurisdiction part.
State Representative Steve Butts, always great to have you on. I appreciate it, Steve.
Thanks, Mark. Have a great day.
All right, we're going to talk a little bit about, I mean, I started reading. It's one thing to hear the changes that Oscar, the Academy Awards, is putting in for Best Picture when it comes to, you know, equitable representation on and off screen. But when you hear the details, I think you're going to be kind of surprised. We'll get to that here with Christian Toto from HollywoodandToto.com in just a couple of minutes.
Tomorrow, it's a triple play Thursday. First, a doubleheader between the Cards and Tigers.
Playing, and there it goes.
Then the Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs take the field for their season opener.
Touchdown!
A triple play Thursday. Hear it here on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Oh, man, that's going to be quite the sports day tomorrow. Cardinals doubleheader, Chiefs football tomorrow night. All right, so here's the here's what the Academy has done here because of the Oscars So White controversy and Woke America. To encourage equitable representation on and off screen in order to better reflect the diversity of the movie-going audience, films will have to meet minimum requirements pertaining to representation and inclusion to be eligible for the Best Picture Oscar, beginning with the 96th Oscar race, which will recognize achievements from 2024 and will be held in 2025. In the meantime, the Academy Inclusion Standards Form will have to be submitted to the Academy for a film to be considered for the 94th and 95th Oscars, although meeting inclusion thresholds will not be a requirement. No action will be required for films wishing to compete in the 93rd Oscars, which are to be held on April 25th. So if you're not woke enough this year, you're fine. If you're not woke enough the next couple of years, we're going to kind of slap you on the wrist. But then you darn well better be woke in 2025, ladies and gentlemen. Hollywood, Woke Hollywood. Christian Toto is with me this afternoon from HollywoodandToto.com, fellow film critic, one of the few conservative film critics out there. He's on the Quiver River Electric guest line. Hey, Christian, how are you? I mean, at first I thought, oh, here we go. I rolled my eyes. But then when I started reading some of the specifics, that's when I really thought it was interesting. I'm guessing you've done that as well. How are you this afternoon?
I'm good. I'm a little depressed, I have to say, about all this. You know, and I was thinking about plans B, C, and D about how they could address some of the issues here. And one that kind of came to mind is part of this basically forces different studios to have paid internships and kind of reaching out to, you know, people who are maybe marginalized or not always included in the Oscar pool in the Hollywood system. And I thought, you know, maybe it would have been better just to have the actors kind of contribute to a fund that does that separately, where, hey, let's train people who are maybe disadvantaged people, you know, people of color who weren't as represented as they were in the past. It seemed like that would be a better solution than what we're going on here, which is just, I can't even wrap my brain around it. It seems so troublesome and so ripe for all sorts of complications. I don't even think it's tenable.
I suppose you can make the case that, you know, you don't have to do this if you don't want to enter the race for Best Picture, and the Academy, I guess, can do what they want. But let's get into some of the specifics here. So there's three standards. Standard A is on-screen representation, themes, and narratives. To achieve Standard A, the film must meet one of the following criteria: lead or significant supporting actors, at least one of the lead actors or significant supporting actors, who's going to define that, is from an underrepresented racial or ethnic group: Asian, Hispanic, Black, Indigenous, Native Hawaiian, other underrepresented race or ethnicity. So if you tick the box there, you're okay. Or if 30% of all actors in secondary and more minor roles are from at least two of the following underrepresented groups: women, racial or ethnic group, LGBTQ plus, people with cognitive or physical disabilities. And then the third one is, now you just have to, my understanding is, you tell me if you're interpreting this differently. There's A1, the supporting actor, lead actor. There's A2, general ensemble cast. There's A3, main storyline, subject matter. The main storyline's theme or narrative is centered on an underrepresented group: women, racial, LGBTQ, blah, blah, blah. So you only have to meet one of those clicks, right? Just A1, A2, or do you have to do all three? That was a little confusing.
No, I think in that category, and we're talking about categories, it just is, this whole thing is so confusing. I think in that category, you have to kind of check just one of three boxes. But there are other divisions or categories as well. It's not just this.
Yeah, so there we go. Standard B, creative leadership and project team. To achieve Standard B, the film must meet one of the criteria below: creative leadership and department heads. At least two of the following creative leadership positions and department heads: casting director, cinematographer, composer, costume designer, director, etc., have to be women, racial or ethnic group, LGBTQ+, people with cognitive or physical disabilities, or who are deaf or hard of hearing. At least one of those positions must belong to the following underrepresented racial or ethnic group: Asian, Hispanic, Black, Indigenous, Native American, Middle East. I mean, look, this is a quota system. What the Academy has done here is creating a quota system for making movies if you want to enter the Oscar race. There's no other way to call it at this point. Then there's Standard C, industry access and opportunities. To achieve Standard C, the film must meet both the criteria: paid internship and apprentice opportunities, but not for white kids. If you're a talented white kid out there and you want to learn something, my son was in communications. He wants to work in movies. Doesn't matter. You have to be a woman or with an ethnic group or LGBTQ+. And then you also have to have training opportunities and skills development in the film production or the financing company. I mean, this goes on and on. They dig deep in here. There's even the audience development. You have to represent all these things in marketing and distribution. So you raise a good question, Christian. How do you even police this stuff at this point?
It's maddening. And also, you know, listen, when you make a movie, it is a very complex situation. You've got producers, you've got marketing considerations, you've got casting decisions, you've got creative differences. There are so many nightmarish things that happen on a movie set, even the best movie sets, even the best directors. Now you have to weave all of these new factors in. And by the way, if you're an indie film studio, like the people, I think, I forget the company behind Moonlight, was the movie from a couple of years ago that won. Mm-hmm. It was about a young gay Black man. Was it Moonlight?
Yeah, Moonlight, yeah.
Okay, so that's a smaller studio. How are they going to afford the paid internships and all this, all the extra effort and outreach, which, again, on paper sounds nice, but these small studios can compete with the Warner Brothers and the Disneys and the Universals. So they may just bow out and say, hey, we can't afford this. We'll just make movies. It's so surreal, and nothing in our conversation touches on artistic merit, creativity, inspiration.
Because that doesn't matter.
Ingenuity.
That's secondary. None of that matters. None of that matters anymore. And here's what's troubling to me. More so troubling, I think, is, look, I know a fair amount of people in Hollywood. And I know a fair amount of lefties in Hollywood. But I'll tell you what. There are people in Hollywood that might consider themselves lefties that think that this is a bunch of BS. And they will not comment on it. They can't. Because if you open your mouth about this, you're going to get canceled. So basically, the Academy rolls it out. No one, unless you have a lot of guts. I mean, I haven't seen, you know, really anyone respond to this yet. It'll be interesting to see what the reaction is in the next coming days, because I think people will be afraid to say something.
Oh, yeah. I completely understand. I completely agree. And by the way, the most persecuted group in Hollywood right now, conservatives. Conservatives are afraid to open their mouths lest they lose jobs. I didn't hear them included in this diversity package.
No.
I mean, shouldn't they merit some consideration if you're going to go in this direction, which I don't agree with? But by golly, you say the wrong thing. You show up with a MAGA hat at the film set, you're done. You're done. Why can't they get protection as well?
Well, you know, I highlighted back in June a great piece that was written by Naomi Aon and Robin Quivers, who is Howard Stern's, you know, partner in crime. And this is one of the best columns I've read over the last 5 months in, you know, during the pandemic or really after George Floyd. This was a response to George Floyd. And the headline was, "The trouble with our talk about race, maybe obsession over racism is the problem." They made a really good case here for Hollywood and everybody else being obsessed by race. And that's not helping the situation. Is actually, I think, moving us in the opposite direction to a certain extent. And one of the examples, Christian, they used was this Sesame Street CNN town hall for children. I have a five-year-old. You have kids, right? Young kids?
Yep. 9 and 11.
So, you know, they said in this particular instance, they said, it sounds so sensible to learn how to teach young kids to be anti-racist. But what am I supposed to tell my daughter? Doesn't even know what that is right now. She shouldn't do better because she's not doing anything wrong. She's not guilty of anything. So we're inadvertently planting shame and guilt in kids, and then we take it to new levels with all this stuff because we have to virtue signal. That's what it's all about. It's not about actually making change in 2020 or making improvements or do anything to help minorities or people who might be in these groups that are, you know, sometimes they are let down. But that's not what it's all about. It really is just about virtue signaling.
What if the industry came together and kind of gathered all of their largesse and said, we're going to fund a new series of job training centers across the country, and some will be focused on filmmaking skills. I mean, that would be something that would be dramatic and impactful and really change lives. This is just going to make the Oscars, which are already almost, people have lost interest in the awards. They don't care about them.
It's a joke.
Now it'll be much worse. And it's going to force voters to make more political choices, to be more inclined to like certain projects based on certain parameters, as opposed to, hey, it's a great movie. Hey, it's a lousy movie. Hey, it's the best performance of the year. Well, what is the person's skin color?
I just have to wonder if that might have happened this year with Parasite. I don't know. I even read articles in the LA Times that encouraged voters to make their decisions based on that. Christian Toto, HollywoodandToto.com. I appreciate it. We'll talk soon.
Thanks.
Listening to KMOX has never been easier.
Siri, play KMOX.
251. I don't like to get too far into the weeds on some of this stuff from Washington, but there's a guy named Chris Rufo who's been on the show, and he's been doing some great work when it comes to something called critical race theory. In fact, he got on the radar of the president, the White House, and there was an executive order that basically puts a halt to all of this right now. What is critical race theory? What are you talking about, Reardon? What is this stuff that you're all worked up about? And I've been tweeting about this a little. Let me offer an example. Let me do this first. Let me do this in reverse. So the word comes out. President Trump starts tweeting about it. There are other people that are. I think it's a huge victory. Huge victory. And you'll know why here in a second. If you don't understand what critical race theory is, I think you'll get it. But here's what Brian Stelter said on CNN.
The Fox News Donald Trump feedback loop affects everybody, whether you watch Fox or not. Let me show you a brand new example of this. The Trump White House is canceling race-related training sessions at federal agencies. This memo says it's come to the president's attention that agencies have spent millions of dollars training government workers to believe anti-American propaganda. It came to the president's attention. How? You know how.
All right, I'm going to explain that. Enough of Brian Stelter. It came to the president's attention because Chris Rufo has been doing this amazing work in Seattle. He writes at Heritage and at the City Journal, and this is his passion. In fact, I can't even get this guy back on the air. When all this started at the beginning of the summer, we had him on. He's been so busy, he can't even come back on. Let me offer the most recent example of critical race theory. And you be the judge. And those of you who might not like President Trump and you're on the left, you tell me if you're okay with this. Last month, the Department of Education-funded organization hosted a conference on abolishing the United States. Chris Rufo says, I've obtained shocking leaked documents from a keynote session. And by the way, if you go to Real Chris Rufo online, Chris, C-H-R-I-S-R-U-F-O, Real Chris Rufo, you'll find example after example after example of things along these lines. So he got documents leaked from the session, which encourages teachers to create disruption, abolish capitalism, and tear down America. This is really happening out there. And it's not just happening in an isolated manner. It's happening throughout government. So according to minutes from the session, the keynote speaker, Bettina Love, opened by saying that America has oppressed people of color for 400 years and that teachers must consciously tear down a system that oppresses people and build a new world. The organization hosting the conference, CAST, has received more than $16 million in taxpayer funding under the Trump administration. And this conference on abolition was attended by Department of Education staff. The speaker argued that the United States has a racial contract that says it's okay for white people to kill blacks with impunity, and that President Trump deliberately allowed the coronavirus to kill people of color. Dr. Love claims that reform is not enough. This is in front of the Department of Education and teachers. Your taxpayers are paying for this. Your money. And by the way, this is just one example. We've seen it. Chris Rufo has rooted this out in so many different agencies right now. Dr. Love claims that reform is not enough and that public school teachers must push for the abolition of prisons. That's BLM, by the way. Those of you who love BLM, that's BLM. That's what they want, Black Lives Matters. They want the abolition of prisons. Ask your, you know, football player, hockey player, Jack Flaherty. Ask him if they know that. Overthrowing the capitalist wage capitalist wage labor system, radically changing the school system, and tearing down structures that impede anti-racist education. The speaker then demands that the white people need to get out of white emotionality and must be willing to give up their wealth. She claims that existing civil rights laws are all racist and that white teachers must be co-conspirators in the revolution. So as Mr. Ruffo pointed out, you and me, ladies and gentlemen, are funding revolutionaries who want to overthrow the country. That, you know, if I would say that under ordinary circumstances, I'd laugh at myself. Come on, Reardon. That's stupid. That's an exaggeration. It's not. It's what's happening on a regular basis. And we're paying for it. In this particular case, Bettina Love rejects reform. You can't reform, argues that we must start over to build a new world. Abolition is shorthand for abolishing the United States. So Chris Ruffo is calling on Betsy DeVos and the Department of Education to launch an investigation into grants that fund critical race theory and are explicitly anti-American. It's divisive. It doesn't do anything for my daughter, who's 5 years old, to learn how to read. She can't even go to school. We know that. So it's not improving education. You know, when people talk about abolishing the Department of Education, that's why we talk about that. There is no federal. This is the federal role for the Department of Education to teach teachers how bad they are because they're white. It is absolutely outrageous. And Brian Stelter, the moron that he is, goes on CNN not knowing anything about this. Chris Ruffo, by the way, has challenged Brian Stelter to interview him. Crickets, as you might imagine. Hey, I have a good hygiene question to toss out to Dave Klein, Fred, Carol, Kevin Wheeler. It's a pretty good one. We'll do it after 3 on KMOX. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, 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 O'Reilly.